The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening and welcome. In fact, welcome on back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday evening show where we remain unafraid to call out stolen elections, weak-kneed Republicans, lying, mistrustful. There's a new one. Little George Bush-itis there. Media that you cannot trust. In fact, I walked into the studio and sat down, and on one of the monitors, somebody was using Google News to fact check a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch of things here. I don't know what was really being looked at, but Google News, of all places to try and find truth. My, oh my, that is where they continue to marinate the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine narratives that infiltrate your mind, your brain, your cell phone, your laptop, your desktop, your television, and just about anywhere else you might try and get some semblance of real news. And certainly hope to talk about that tonight. Last week, a great texter brought up a website that you should be familiar with, AmericasDigitalShield.com, AmericasDigitalShield.com, where they're exploring, or in their own words, shining a light on big tech's dark secrets, revealing real-time ephemeral manipulation. And Google is at the top of the list. Amazing stuff. Dr. Robert Epstein, if you haven't heard of him, you should check him out. Google him? Well, maybe not. Maybe you should use DuckDuckGo or some other search engine. But an admitted, you know, pretty left scientist, pretty politically left scientist who started looking into how stories are pushed down in searches and how other things are promoted, and the unbelievable way with the data they collect from your cell phone use, from your laptop and computer use, can target certain messages to foment and grow and further that corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine message. Could do an entire show on that. And who knows, maybe we'll really get into it before this show is over. But in the meantime, there's just so much to talk about. Because number one, today is 4/20, April 20th. It's Saturday. Really miserable day out there. 40 degrees right now in hell, otherwise known as Denver. 39 here in Aurora, the palatial studios of 710 KNUS. And man, after last week with Harley riding and beautiful sunshiny evening start to the show and the sun staying out so late, what a change. I was driving down from the mountains a couple of hours ago, and by the time you get, really a little before you get to the Lookout Mountain exit as you're coming down I-70 back into Denver, the fog was so thick. People were going 25, 35 miles an hour. Fog pretty well disappeared by the time you got on the flatlands part of Denver. But slick and nasty, and, you know, it's April in Colorado. And I was with somebody earlier who was just griping about the snow, and I was trying to enjoy the beauty of it and realize, you know, we're about to be done with it for the year. And also looking ahead, tomorrow, this is an unbelievable forecast. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer in Denver, high of 68, 73 by Monday, 60s on Tuesday, back in the 70s for the rest of the week. I hope that Channel 7 is right about that. That's a little more optimistic than my cell phone was telling me as I got ready for the show. But either way, sun's coming. Enjoy it. Maybe throw a log back on the fire and avoid the slick roads and just settle in for a good radio show. If you're new to the show, first thing you should be doing is going to your favorite app store and downloading the 710KNUS app, because it allows you to do a couple of things. One button allows you to call the studio. If you don't have the app, the phone number here, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. But with the app, you can also text the studio, and instantaneously, I will see your text. Okay, if not instantaneously, at least instantly. I will see your text, and a lot of times I can respond on the breaks, and I try and get everybody back before I leave the studio at the end of the show. It's an awful fun way to connect with you. But back to 420. What is the significance of 420? Let's go to the most trusted website in the world, Wikipedia, wink, wink. But it's very interesting how they talk about 420. And here's the way they present it. 420, the number, or 420, which is 4:20, like a time, if you were to write out a time, or 4/20, as like you would write a date. And then they explain for, I guess, I don't know, people who are new to actual words, that it's pronounced 420. 420. But it's so embarrassing because 420 is now the day all across America where people are celebrating marijuana, hashish, the use of drugs. Smoking around 420 is, I guess, part of the way that you celebrate 420. If I recall correctly, I was going to look this up before I came in, but wasn't Colorado the first state not only to legalize abortion and now, you know, to have it protected right out the birth canal, but the first state to legalize pot? It seems right to me. I'll double check that on the first break. But here we are on April 20th of 2024. And today is the day that people are supposed to light up at 420 and celebrate cannabis culture. And it got me thinking, because yesterday was a very momentous day in American history. And I was interested to see what the Library of Congress would say about yesterday, given the politicization of so many of the agencies of the government. But I actually found this to be fairly informative, because yesterday, back in 1775, 249 years ago, almost a quarter of a millennia. Just imagine that. But 249 years ago yesterday was the day British and American soldiers exchanged fire in the Massachusetts towns of Lexington and Concord. Those were the first shots fired of the Revolutionary War. And just think of how those patriots and those founding fathers would be rolling over in their graves, and maybe they are, if they could see what we have allowed our country to descend into. And I know the radical lefties and the Democrats and the Never Trumpers will all say, yeah, you're right, Trump was president, and oh my gosh, he's the worst thing, completely ignoring the absolute devastation of the last 3 years, devastation of our economy, devastation of our standard of living, devastation of our standing in the world, devastation of our southern border, devastation of our sovereignty, devastation of the ability to protect our elections. And the list goes on and on and on. And it's all been happening on our watch. And that is particularly troubling to me. Text messages coming in. Now, John Corbless, superstar, behind the glass, puts together all the great audio for the show, plugs in the bumper music, whispers in my ear, especially when I run afoul of, you know, breaks or things like that. And he said California was the first state to legalize marijuana. Texters are saying it's Alaska. So, John, better double check. But don't go to Google fact check, by the way. But Alaska was first and then recriminalized, according to one anonymous texter. Randy, Another texter, Alaska was the first state to legalize. Then they changed their mind and repealed it. But currently they do have legal marijuana in Alaska and probably Oregon too. Yeah, that's from Richard, the limo driver. Nice to hear from you, Richard. I'm certain it's still legal up in Oregon, although I understand they're recriminalizing higher-level drugs. And people say, you know, and yes, I drink, and I'm very experienced with marijuana smoking. I started smoking it when I was 13 years old. You know, a dumb suburban kid, sad, angry, lonely, and just got exposed to it, and it was the cool thing in the neighborhood and at the school. And but, man, I'll tell you, that was a different product than what kids are and everybody who wants to take advantage of legalized pot. Or what they're experiencing today. The content, the THC content is so high. And you hear reports of, you know, actual mental health issues, not just sort of the old traditional worries about pot smoking, the memory loss or the slowing down, the lack of motivation, all that kind of stuff. But serious mental health issues because it's just so powerful. So I think about that and where we're at in this country, and then I think about 224 years ago yesterday on April 19th, the first shots fired in the Revolutionary War that eventually led to the creation of what was once the greatest nation in, or the greatest nation in the entire world. And based on my understanding of history, the greatest nation in the history of the world, the most free, the most secure, the most prosperous. And under over 3 years now of pure Democrat control, the puppeteers managing creepy, sleepy, showered with daughter Joe Biden, all of the radical leftists in the cabinet that will just lie to your face about our secure border and we support Israel. And then, you know, behind closed doors, don't you dare retaliate. Don't you dare finish the job on the people who attacked your country, raped your children, your women, civilians, still holding hostages, Americans who are missing and been killed. Don't you dare finish that job. Just unbelievable that that's the society that we live in. But just to revisit this history for another minute, and then we'll take our first break. Phone number 303-696-1971. On the night of April 18th, the royal governor of Massachusetts, General Thomas Gage, commanded by King George III to suppress the rebellious Americans, had ordered 700 British soldiers under Lieutenant Colonel Francis Smith and Marine Major John Pitcairn to seize the colonists' military stores in Concord, some 20 miles west of Boston. A system of signals and word-of-mouth communication set up by the colonists was effective in forewarning American volunteer militiamen of the approach of the British troops. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, Paul Revere's Ride, tells how a lantern was displayed in the steeple of Christ Church on the night of April 18, 1775, as a signal to Paul Revere and others. Do you remember some of that poetry? One if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be, ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up and to arm. At Lexington Green, and this again is from the Library of Congress, this day in history, yesterday, 1775, at Lexington Green, the British were met by approximately 70 American minutemen led by John Parker. At the North Bridge in Concord, the British were confronted again, this time by 300 to 400 armed colonists, and they were forced to march back to Boston with the Americans firing on them all the way. And remember, you know, you get caught up in your grandkids' video games or the movies and how fast you can make somebody retreat with rapid-fire shooting. These folks were shooting a musket ball at a time. Occasionally a cannon, not in this battle, but, later on, a cannonball at a time. So it was very slow. But if you got hit by one or got hit while you were trying to reload your musket, wow, just so hard to imagine the courage that it took and the danger that existed and the terror and the injuries that with, you know, very limited medical care available. Anyway, by the end of the day, the colonists were singing Yankee Doodle, and the American Revolution had begun. Documents from the Continental Congress and the Constitutional Convention, 1774 to 1789, includes a timeline of the events that followed. And I've had the distinct pleasure and privilege of looking at those documents and just spending time in the incredible monuments and museums and historical buildings in Washington, D.C. Not sure I'd take my family there right now. You know, being in New York is dangerous. Being in Chicago is dangerous. Being in D.C. is dangerous, at least if you're out and about and not surrounded by a whole lot of people. Anyway, here's a little snippet from another Ralph Waldo Emerson poem, Concord Hymn. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmer stood and fired the shot heard round the world. 249 years ago yesterday. And look at what we have allowed to happen. But that's why we're here, and we'll talk about the issues of the day when we return. Our phone number, 303-696-1971. I'm Randy Corcoran on 710 KNUS. Amen. Troubled times. Green Day. From December of 2016, it was interesting because I was just thinking about the troubled times and the summer ahead that is going to be just laced with chaos. And I fear lots of violence as Donald Trump continues to dominate the polls and as they try to keep him off the campaign trail with these what will be endless days in court. Popularity continues to grow. I don't know if you saw the video of Donald Trump. We've got some audio for it. In fact, maybe I'll just dig that up right now. Let's see. Where did we put that? There he is. Donald Trump, after day three, I think, of the bogus New York show trial, the political keep my top polling opponent off the campaign trail show trial in New York, Donald Trump went to a bodega with some real significance that I'll explain in a minute. Here's what happened there.
I think there's more press here than there is.
Well, that one's a little hard to hear, but that was just Donald Trump again reiterating they're trying to keep him off the campaign trail. But what was significant about that is that at the conclusion of that day's trial, I think it was day before yesterday, the bodega that he went to was owned by that old man by the name of Jose Alba, and he's the one who was attacked, sitting behind his counter, attacked, and he fended off the assailant and wound up killing him and was literally charged with murder. So he didn't wind up being prosecuted, but can you imagine the terror and the worry and the intensity for those days? Maybe it was weeks. I didn't go back and relive the timeline of that particular escapade. But that's where Trump went, and there was a mob there to see him, including people of all sorts of shades of skin color and children.
I love you, Trump! I love you, Trump!
We love Trump! We love Trump!
I love you, Trump!
We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump!
Yeah, and there'd been an awful lot of that tonight at the scheduled Trump rally in North Carolina, but it was canceled due to bad weather. They're saying in the press that it will be rescheduled, but you know there'd have been a lot of that shouting. But on the flip side, in response to that, creepy, sleepy, babbly Joe Biden set up this completely staged visit to, I think it was an ice cream shop. And there's video out. I probably should have grabbed a couple of clips of that and asked John to put them together so you could hear them. But people were videotaping, recording on their phones as they were staging it. You know, Trump just shows up and these mobs are waiting for him and they erupt with favor and fanfare. Biden and his acting is terrible. It's all staged. People are in there. Okay, you over here, you over there. Okay, the president's going to walk in, and then we want you to this and you that. And then Biden comes, you know, stiff-legging it in. You know, he's like a stilt, a stick puppet, the way he walks and moves. And he comes walking in, and then he acts surprised, like, oh, my goodness, there are people here. How wonderful. No energy, no enthusiasm, just like the rallies that he gives. Just insane and sad and disgusting. Meanwhile, the people are continuing to demonstrate their love for Donald Trump. And I don't think all the phony show trials in New York in the world are going to keep him and his popularity from continuing to soar. Just a phenomenal and very interesting contrast to pay attention to. Several shout outs tonight to Alexa, always the first to text the studio and never lets you down. And then Joan in Lakewood has been updating me on what happened in the state legislature. Apparently, last night, the legislature, the totally Democrat-dominated supermajority legislature, failed to pass supervised injection sites again. What a weird euphemism, supervised injection sites. In other words, places where you can legally come and shoot up illegal drugs. So Brittany's law failed again. Thank you for that, Joan. And then tremendous love to the love of my new life, Jessica, up there in Genesee. And let's see, who else? Oh, and then two anonymous texters. I'm just going to assume that the texters who aren't leaving their names are all women. So we have nothing but women listening to the show. Way back, I don't remember, years ago, we started, this was, I don't know, was this during, maybe it was pretty well after the Mitt Romney flop for president. And remember one of the things that took him down, besides Candy Crowley at CNN, who, you know, if you're running for president, you really can't be expected to take on a moderator of a debate. Just cowardice that night. But Mitt Romney also got taken down because he referred to his binder full of women. And he was talking about a place where he had, you know, resumes and contacts for businesswomen and people with different skills to put into different positions in the many successful companies that Mitt Romney ran or was involved with and all that. And so we, when Mitt Romney's career plummeted, swirled down the drain, flushed into the toilet, we found through very diligent searching on eBay, at a very low price, Mitt Romney's binder full of women. And, of course, we bought it, and we brought it back to Colorado. We had it sterilized and cleaned and refitted and polished up, and then we dubbed it the Wake Up with Randy Corcoran binder full of women. And by the time we sort of got tired of that gimmick, we had over 100 women in that binder. And I'm thinking, given all the ladies tonight, that maybe we should dig that bad boy back out and build it up. But John likes that idea. All right, phone number 303-696-1971 from the text-to-studio line about that bodega stop. It was staged by a local Trump supporter. Oh, by the way, about yesterday's bipartisan funding agreement, how you like them apples? Yeah, I don't like them at all. But let me tell you, staging by a local Trump supporter? Well, of course, if you find out Trump is going to be somewhere, then you want people to be there. That's quite different from the puppeteers that are driving, pulling, tugging, pushing, prodding, creepy, sleepy, showery with daughter Joe Biden around, and then literally staging the inside of the, I think it was an ice cream store, to try and promote some level of enthusiasm. But isn't it funny that this anonymous texter would be celebrating? And he said yesterday's bipartisan funding agreement. I think that was actually passed today. But yeah, I don't like them apples at all. Mike Johnson is a tremendous disappointment. He's literally given the Democrats more than they asked for. And I realize the Republican majority is about as slim as it can be. Thank you very much, Mike Gallagher. Thank you very much, Ken Buck. But I actually met people in Mar-a-Lago back in November who grew up around and with and knew Mike Johnson and, you know, got very excited when his name was in the running to replace Kevin McCarthy as Speaker, and told me that, you know, this is a guy who had grown up a Bible-believing, morally principled lover of freedom and history and, you know, used to speak in schools and do all kinds of things before he got deeper into politics or as deep in as he is now. And they said that he was the real deal, that we could rely on this guy. And you probably heard this video, and we didn't pull it up. I don't think we played it last week either. But Mike Johnston, when asked about his sudden turnaround on the FISA bill and not insisting on protections for American citizens to not be spied upon without warrants. And his response was, well, you know, they, and the they he's talking about is the deep state, the intelligence agencies, taking him into the SCIF. The SCIF is where, of course, confidential and top secret information can be shared, and you can't take your phone in there or any cameras or any notes or anything like that. And you just go in and you hear what you hear, and you can't talk about it when you come out with specifics. And according to Mike Johnson, intelligence agencies dragged him in there. And I don't mean they forced him, but they took him in there and they told him things that he didn't know. And he came out and said, it's very important that we renew FISA for 2 more years. Without building protections for American citizens back into the game. And the first question that popped to my mind, I don't know if it worked the same for you, but the first question that popped to my mind was, who told you these things, Mike? The same people that want to continue to exercise warrantless searches on American citizens. The same people who are represented by the 51 top intelligence officials who told us before the election in 2020 that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian propaganda. The same people that creepy, sleepy Chuck Schumer was talking about back in the day. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Where did I put Schumer? Oh, there he is.
So I was distraught right after the election. But I'm now actually invigorated by the challenge and our ability to succeed in this challenge.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying, the president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Okay. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Do you think he has an agenda to try to dismantle parts of the intelligence community? I mean, this form of taunting hostility.
Whether you're a super liberal Democrat or a very conservative Republican, you should be against dismantling the intelligence community.
Yeah.
Senator Charles Schumer of New York.
You should be against having the information put into the people that you elect to represent you, to have them protect you from warrantless searches. Schumer was talking about the Russian interference, which again was another lie of the deep state. That's how they tried to keep Trump from the presidency in 2016. the lies of the 51 intelligence masters from 2020 about the Hunter Biden laptop, according to many polls, many pundits, many articles that were written after, create. And remember, Donald Trump, in the just the right states, just the right places, lost the Electoral College in 2020 by about 42,000 to 44,000 votes. That's it. And the disinformation about the Hunter Biden laptop was certainly more than enough to switch that many votes. So it's a very terrifying time that we live in. We get people who, you know, seem to have lived their lives with integrity, and they seem to be up for the challenge. And now it really does appear that, you know, Mike Johnson was kind of a, you know, a plant, really, for Democrats and deep staters and everybody else, because he has not stood firm on anything. Remember when he said, you know, we're not going to fund X if we don't get border security. We don't have border security. I'm going to stand up for against warrantless searches and spying on Americans in through the FISA courts, folded like a cheap suit. And if we knew about Mike Johnson, some of the things that we're learning about him now, we probably should have known. This was Mike Johnson back when the George Floyd killing happened.
What did you feel?
Let me just correct him. You see how easy it is to get caught up in the mainstream media narrative? It wasn't a George Floyd killing. He was not killed by the police officer who was using an approved method to restrain him. The picture looks horrible. I get it. But the coroner at the trial of, what was his name? The cop's name, I don't recall. But the coroner said that George Floyd died of the fentanyl that was in his blood. He was overdosing. If you look at any of the video before he was put on the ground, you could see just how crapped out he was. And his death was celebrated. He had parades like Elvis Presley, you know, gold-laden coffins, millions of dollars donated to his family. A guy who held a knife to a pregnant woman. It just did the most heinous of crimes. And here is how Mike Johnson responded when he was asked about the death of George Floyd.
What did you feel when you watched the video of George Floyd being killed?
I was outraged. I don't think anyone can view the video and objectively come to any other conclusion but that it was an act of murder. And I felt that initially, as everyone did. It's so disturbing. And, you know, the underlying issues beneath that are something that the country is now struggling with. And I think it's something we have to look at very soberly and with a lot of empathy. And I'm glad to see that's happening around the country. You know, what it's taught me is we now have four other children of our own. And my oldest son, Jack, ironically, this year is 14. And I've thought often through all these ordeals over the last couple of weeks about the difference in the experiences between my two 14-year-old sons, Michael being a Black American and Jack being white, Caucasian. They have different challenges. My son Jack has an easier path. He just does. The interesting thing about both of these kids, Michael and Jack, is they're both handsome, articulate, really talented kids, gifted by God to do lots of things. But the reality is, and no one can tell me otherwise, my son Michael had a harder time than my son Jack is going to have simply because of the color of his skin. And that's a reality. It's an uncomfortable, painful one to acknowledge. But people have to recognize that's a fact.
What should we do about that?
I think that we need, we really do need systematic change. I think we need transformative solutions.
So the current Speaker of the House believes in white privilege. He talks about, you know, the systemic change, the flowery language without any real solutions. And apparently he adopted a Black child, and God bless him. But if you talk to successful Black people, there are so many who will tell you, and I've had these conversations, people who've risen in business, people who've risen in law, people who've risen in politics, And they will not buy into this narrative that the current Speaker of the House tried to sell to this very woke radical leftist. What was his name? I had that down here. Walter Isaacson. Walter Isaacson, who I don't think he does it anymore, but he was the president or CEO or something of the Aspen Institute up in Aspen. Woke leftness. Mike Johnson was a part of it. No wonder we're in the trouble that we are with the current Speaker of the House. Anyway, we're late on the break. It's 5:45. Stay with us on 710 KNUS. The one who knows the reason for every hard season. That's Matthew West. He's a contemporary Christian musician. Released that song in 2023. Forgot to comment on the Green Day song we played out of the last break, We Live in Troubled Times. I was just thinking about how crazy things are going to get as we head into the election and after the election of Donald Trump, which I continue to predict. You know the streets are going to be on fire again, just like the first Trump presidency. And that is not because of the things that Donald Trump is doing. It's because that is the way the left rolls. You can count on it. But it was interesting because I was looking at the video when I was deciding whether to use that Green Day song for the first break this hour, and it was clearly anti-Trump. They had a picture of somebody in the red hat, and you could almost make out, you know, Make America Great Again. And so it was really all about, it was a protest to the election of Donald Trump. And man, oh man, it just caused me to draw that contrast in my head between the wonderful, successful years of Donald Trump with every deck stacked against him, including his own appointees, his own intelligence system, all of it. And yet so much was accomplished. And then we have the last 3.5 years of this joke. And I guess we ought to grab some calls before we run out of time this hour. I want you to hear I'll probably play this multiple times. This is the best, perhaps the best Biden babble of all time.
Important foreign products. I'm exporting their product.
Say that again, Joe.
Instead of important foreign products, I'm exporting their product.
And instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting prabra prabra. One more time.
Instead of important foreign products, I'm exporting their product.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much. Oops. Hit my own button there. Let's go to the phones with Johnny in Denver. Johnny, welcome.
Hey, Randy.
Hi.
You know, I was just telling your producer there. My daughter's 35 years old, and she was telling me, and I kind of talked to her and see where her mind is at and what she's heard. And then so she was telling me this propaganda lie about the Republicans are the ones that started the KKK, and the only reason that Abraham Lincoln freed the state is because he had a black child, and so he wanted to, you know, have his black child. And I said, okay, let's look at a little documentary. And it was only like three minutes into it, and it went through the life of Abraham Lincoln. He had four kids, his wife, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, after the video, I said, where are the black babies that you were brainwashed into believing? And then she had to say, Daddy, you're right. And I'm thinking, like, man, how do they get into your brain?
Johnny, how old is your daughter?
35.
Oh, you said that. And where did she go to school? How did she pick up?
Oh,
this?
She went to school here in Denver.
Mm. That explains a lot.
Yeah. But she could read herself. I mean, but she's kind of, I think she's lazy. My youngest daughter, you know, she's well read and she's not easily brainwashed like that. But my oldest daughter, it's like, I had to look at her and I said, where did you come from?
Well, that's sad. I am so grateful that my kids have grown up with their own minds, and now that they're raising families and get paychecks and see taxes and see the results of crime and drugs and homelessness in the communities around them, you know, I didn't have to propagandize them. I just had to give them the opportunity to not be brainwashed along the way, and they've managed to make some darn good decisions, and it makes me pretty proud. But it's got to be terrifying for you, Johnny, and you know, especially to have a black child who can be told such incredible lies that are bound to make her want to distrust or hate white people. Have you been able to overcome any of that with her?
Yeah, step by step, it's almost like I had to take a deep breath and I said, okay, this is what you heard. And I was listening to this liberal, oh man, it was so sickening. The girl that she was telling me these lies, because she said, Daddy, listen to this. And so I'm listening to her and I said, stop. Because there's just so much of that stuff you can listen to because they sound so, and so just step by step, just reversing the stuff, and then I got to get through the part where, well, I just don't like Trump, and I say, well, I need to give me some reason. Give me what he did specifically, and it's never anything specific. It's just that somebody said this, and then you're going along with that group that said this without verifying anything yourself. And I saw that video when Trump went into the Chick-fil-A, and it was really weird. It was two guys that were talking to Trump and saying how they support him, and then the lady who organized it. Then it was this other girl, and they, instead of them picking on those two guys, which it wouldn't have worked, or that lady, they picked on this other girl to harass her because, you know, she hugged, not the one that the main one they hugged, but this other girl. And it seemed like they found the weakest one they thought was the weakest one there, and then they went after her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a concerted effort. And I've watched, you know, at rallies how the way Antifa organizes, and, you know, they'll try and isolate an older couple or someone who's more vulnerable. And, I mean, psychologically, physically, they're masters on the left. And it's a historic success because you can read back decades and see that this is the game plan and they've mastered it. And we've been sleeping on the job. Problem for them now is we are wide awake. Johnny, I appreciate you calling. I hope you call again soon.
All right. God bless.
God bless. And don't forget, we had Trump at the bodega in New York.
I love you, Trump. I love you, Trump.
We love Trump. We love Trump.
I love you, Trump.
We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump.
Don't tell anybody. There were people and children of color in the video. Absolutely amazing. When we come back, we'll hear creepy, sleepy, showered with daughter Joe Biden tell the story of how his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Yep. And he seems to absolutely believe it. The guy who talks like this.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting their product.
Blah, 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 blah. Hour two, Wake Up with Randy Corporan. You stay right there on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.